welcome to the Saving Castles podcast, the sanctuary for castle devotees and medieval history enthusiasts. Prepare to embark on a thrilling voyage through time as we unveil enthralling history and legend. From ancient folklore to cutting-edge restoration, we've got it all covered. So grab your headphones and let's dive right in.
In the heart of the 15th century, a storm brewed over England, a tempest born from the ashes of the Wars of the Roses, a series of bloody conflicts that tore the fabric of the realm asunder. It was a time when loyalty was as shifting as the wind, and power was seized by those bold enough to claim it. Into this maelstrom of ambition and strife stepped a figure whose name would become synonymous with controversy, mystery, and a debate that has endured for centuries, Richard III. Was he a malevolent usurper? A regal villain cloaked in the guise of a monarch or merely a victim of his time, caught in the web of medieval power politics? Today we embark on a journey through the fog of history to uncover the enigma of Richard III, villain or victim? Born into the House of York, Richard was the youngest son of Richard, Duke of York, and Cecily Neville, a woman of formidable intellect and noble birth. From his earliest days, Richard was steeped in the volatile politics of the Wars of the Roses, witnessing firsthand the capricious nature of power as his family vied for the throne against the Lancastrians. His childhood was a baptism by fire, a lesson insurvivable as the Yorkist cause ebbed and flowed with the tides of fortune. It was this crucible that forged Richard into the man he would become, a figure of both admiration and infamy. As a young duke, Richard proved himself on the battlefields of England, his valour and strategic acumen evident in the clashes that stained the land red. His loyalty to his brother, Edward IV, was unwavering, a bond of blood and honour that saw them through the darkest of times. When Edward seized the throne, it seemed as though the Yorkist ascendancy was secured, a beacon of stability in a sea of chaos. But peace was a fragile veneer, and beneath it lurked the ambitions and resentments that threatened to shatter the realm once more. The death of Edward marked the beginning of Richard's most controversial chapter. The king's untimely demise left a power vacuum that would draw Richard into the vortex of intrigue and ambition. As protector of the realm, Richard was entrusted with safeguarding the interests of Edward's young sons, yet the kingdom he sought to preserve was rife with factions and conspiracies. It was a landscape of shadows, where allies could become adversaries in the blink of an eye, and the line between protector and usurper was perilously thin. The decision to declare his nephews illegitimate and assume the crown himself is perhaps the most contentious act of Richard's reign. To his detractors, it was an unforgivable betrayal, a sinister plot to usurp the throne and eliminate all rivals. Yet others argue that Richard's actions were born of necessity, a measure to prevent the realm from descending into further conflict and anarchy. The truth, obscured by the mists of time, lies buried in the complexities of 15th century politics, a web of intrigue that Richard navigated with the determination and ruthlessness that his precarious position demanded. Amidst the turmoil of his accession, the shadow of the princes in the tower looms large, a dark spectre that has haunted Richard's legacy through the ages. The disappearance of Edward V and his brother, Richard of Shrewsbury, is a mystery that has captivated historians and enthusiasts alike, a tale of innocence lost and the unfathomable depths to which ambition can drive men. Was Richard the architect of their demise? A cold-hearted uncle who would stop at nothing to secure his grip on the throne? Or was he merely a scapegoat, maligned by history and the victim of Tudor propaganda that sought to vilify him as the embodiment of evil? As we delve deeper into the life and reign of Richard III, we will explore these questions and more, peeling back the layers of history to reveal the man behind the myth. We will traverse the battlefields where he fought, wander the halls of the castles he inhabited, and stand in the shadow of Bosworth Field, where his fate was sealed in blood. Through the voices of historians, the insights of scholars, and the legacy of a monarch whose story is intertwined with the very fabric of English history, we will seek to understand the enigma of Richard. Was he a villain, blackened by the ink of Shakespeare's quill, and condemned by the judgment of posterity? Or was he a victim, caught in the crossfire of history, a king who sought to rule justly in an unjust world? Come with us as we journey back in time, to a realm of kings and queens, knights and nobles, intrigue and betrayal in our quest to uncover the truth about Richard III, villain or victim. In the verdant lands of 15th century England, amidst the tumult of the Wars of the Roses, the story of Richard begins. Born into the House of York, Richard was not merely a child of nobility, but a scion of a dynasty embroiled in a bitter struggle for the English crown. This period, marked by the clashing of Lancastrian and Yorkist ambitions, was not just a backdrop to Richard's life, but the very anvil upon which his destiny would be forged. Richard's early years were shadowed by the overarching conflict that consumed his country. The Wars of the Roses, a series of dynastic battles for control of the throne of England, were not just political disputes, but familial feuds writ large across the landscape of the realm. Richard, the youngest son of Richard, Duke of York, and Cecily Neville, was born into a family at the heart of this strife, his life intertwined with the fate of the nation from his earliest days. His father's claim to the throne, rooted in lineage as potent as that of the reigning Lancastrian king, Henry VI, set the stage for Richard's immersion in the volatile politics of the era. As a young boy, Richard would have been acutely aware of his family's ambitions and the dangers they faced. The Duke of York's initial role as a protector of the mentally ill Henry VI eventually shifted towards open rebellion, a move that would plunge England into decades of conflict. Richard's upbringing, therefore, was one of constant movement and uncertainty, his life a chess piece on the board of his family's ambitions. The battles of St. Albans, Wakefield, and Towton were not just historical footnotes to Richard, but pivotal moments that shaped his childhood and adolescence. The death of Richard's father and elder brother at the Battle of Wakefield in 1460 was a defining tragedy, thrusting the young Richard into the maelstrom of war and power politics. Yet it was under the tutelage of his elder brother Edward IV that Richard would come into his own. His loyalty to Edward was unshakable, a bond forged in the fire of shared loss and ambition. Richard's valour and capabilities were soon apparent, his contributions to the Yorkist cause earning him the title of Duke of Gloucester. It was a title that came with vast estates and responsibilities, marking Richard as a significant figure in the realm, a status he would enhance through his martial prowess and leadership. Richard's role in the Wars of the Roses was pivotal. He was not merely a participant, but a key architect of the Yorkist victories that followed. His leadership at the Battle of Barnet, where he helped secure a decisive victory for his brother against the Lancastrian forces, was a testament to his military acumen and loyalty. These were not just battles for territory, but for the very soul of England, each clash a step closer to securing the Yorkist claim to the throne. The crowning of Edward brought a semblance of stability to England, with Richard serving as a trusted lieutenant and brother in arms. His governance of the north of England, a region notoriously difficult to pacify and rule, showcased his abilities as an administrator and a leader. Here, Richard was not just a warrior, but a prince deeply involved in the welfare of his subjects, his rule marked by fairness and a commitment to justice that endeared him to the northern populace. Yet, the death of Edward in 1483 would unravel the fragile peace that had been achieved. The succession of Edward's young son, Edward V, thrust the kingdom into a new crisis, with Richard appointed as protector of the realm. It was a role that placed him at the heart of the kingdom's power struggles, with the young king's Woodville relatives eyeing the regency with ambition. The political landscape of England was once again a powder keg, with Richard at its centre. Richard's path to the throne, marked by the declaration of the prince's illegitimacy and his subsequent coronation, was fraught with controversy and intrigue. Yet, understanding Richard's decision requires a delve into the complexities of his character and the times he lived in. Was his ascension a calculated move for power, or a necessary step to protect the realm from further division and conflict? As we explore the making of this monarch, we must navigate the labyrinth of 15th century politics, family loyalties, and the personal ambitions that shaped the destiny of Richard III. His story is not just one of power seized, but of a life lived in the shadow of war, a man who rose to prominence in an era that shaped him as much as he sought to define it. In examining the making of Richard, we peel back the layers of a figure enshrouded in mystery and debate. His journey from the youngest son of a noble house to the King of England is a tale of ambition, tragedy, and the relentless pursuit of power in a world where the throne was the ultimate prize. The sudden death of Edward IV in April 1483 plunged England into a vortex of uncertainty and intrigue, a realm once more teetering on the brink of chaos. Edward's passing left his young sons, Edward V and Richard of Shrewsbury, as vulnerable pawns in a power struggle that would redefine the course of English history. At the heart of this maelstrom stood Richard, Duke of Gloucester, a man whose destiny was irrevocably tied to the throne he never expected to claim. Richard's journey from loyal brother and protector to king is a tale woven with ambition, fear, and the weighty mantle of responsibility. Appointed as protector of the realm for his young nephew, Edward V, Richard's initial role, was that of guardian and stabilizer, tasked with preserving the kingdom for the boy king. Yet the political landscape of England was a treacherous one, fraught with factions eager to exploit the young king's vulnerability for their gain. The Woodvilles, Queen Elizabeth's family, emerged as potent figures in this unfolding drama. Their ambitions and rapid rise under Edward IV, a source of resentment among the old nobility. Richard, wary of their power and influence, found himself at a crossroads, caught between his duty to protect his nephew and the need to safeguard the realm from a potential civil war. The journey to London with young Edward V was a pivotal moment marked by a series of decisive actions that revealed the depth of political intrigue enveloping the kingdom. The arrest and subsequent execution of Anthony Woodville, Earl Rivers, and other key supporters of the young king under Richard's orders were stark indicators of the escalating power struggle. These actions, while controversial, were framed by Richard as necessary to protect the young king and the realm from the machinations of those who would use the boy as a puppet to their ends. The turning point in Richard's road to kingship came with the pivotal council meeting in June 1483. It was here, in the hallowed halls of power, that the legitimacy of Edward IV's children was called into question. The revelation of a pre-contract between Edward IV and Lady Eleanor Butler, thus rendering his marriage to Elizabeth Woodville invalid, shook the very foundations of the Yorkist claim to the throne. Richard, presented as the rightful heir, found himself thrust into a role he had not sought, but which the tides of fate and the council of peers and clergy urged upon him. The decision to accept the crown was not made lightly. Richard's ascension to the throne was a culmination of a series of extraordinary events that reshaped the political landscape of England. His coronation, a ceremony steeped in the pageantry and solemnity befitting a king, was both a legitimization of his claim and a moment of profound transformation. Richard, once Duke of Gloucester, now stood as the anointed monarch of England, his path to the throne marked by controversy and conflict. Yet, the shadow of the princes in the tower would cast a long pall over Richard's reign. The disappearance of Edward V and his brother Richard remains one of the most enduring mysteries of this period, a dark cloud that would forever colour perceptions of Richard's kingship. Whether victim of circumstance or architect of their fate, the mystery of the prince's disappearance is inextricably linked to Richard's legacy, a question that haunts the annals of history to this day. Richard's road to kingship, thus, is a narrative rich with intrigue, power plays, and the complex interplay of duty and ambition. It is a testament to the turbulent times in which he lived, where the crown was both a symbol of supreme authority and a target for those who would reach for power at any cost. In examining Richard's ascent to the throne, we are reminded of the fragile nature of royal succession and the profound impact of personal choices against the backdrop of historical forces. In the annals of English history, few tales are as haunting and enigmatic as that of the princes in the Tower. The disappearance of Edward V and his brother, Richard of Shrewsbury, is a story that has echoed through the corridors of time, a somber melody of power, innocence lost, and the inscrutable shadows that envelop the heart of man. At the center of this chilling mystery stands Richard III, a monarch whose reign is forever darkened by the specter of his missing nephews. As the summer of 1483 unfurled its verdant cloak over the kingdom, the two young princes were lodged in the Tower of London, ostensibly in preparation for Edward V's forthcoming coronation. Yet, the hallowed walls of the Tower, a fortress with a history as formidable as its battlements, would soon become their prison, and, as some would claim, their final resting place. The prince's vanishing is a tale not of facts and certainties, but whispers and shadows, where truth and speculation intertwine like the ivy on the cold stone walls of the Tower. Richard's ascension to the throne under the cloud of the prince's illegitimacy cast a long shadow over his kingship. The legitimacy of his claim hinged on the invalidity of Edward IV's marriage to Elizabeth Woodville, rendering their offspring unsuitable for the crown. Yet the murmurs of discontent and suspicion grew louder with the prince's continued absence from the public eye. Were they merely being kept safe, shielded from the political machinations and turbulence of the realm, or had they become inconvenient obstacles to the consolidation of Richard's power? Theories abound regarding the fate of the young royals. Some fingers point accusingly at Richard, suggesting that he ordered their murder to remove any threat to his claim to the throne. Others speculate that the boys were victims of the broader power struggle that defined the era, possibly at the hands of the Duke of Buckingham, or even Henry Tudor, who would have much to gain from their disappearance. Yet without bodies or concrete evidence, the truth remains as elusive as the morning mist over the moors of England. Amidst the swirling rumours and dark conjectures, the figure of Sir James Tyrrell looms large. Confessing to the murder of the princes at Richard's behest, Tyrrell's account, given years later, under the reign of Henry VII, adds a layer of intrigue and horror to the tale. Yet scepticism surrounds his confession, made under duress and in a time when the Tudor narrative sought to vilify Richard and legitimize their own precarious claim to the throne. The mystery of the princes in the Tower is not just a question of who, but why. If Richard was indeed responsible, what drove him to such a desperate and heinous act? Was it the cold calculation of a tyrant, or the tragic decision of a ruler besieged by threats both external and internal, striving to secure his reign in a kingdom fractured by decades of conflict? Or were the princes the victims of a more complex web of intrigue, their fates sealed not by their uncle, but by the ruthless ambitions of others in a time where the life of a child could be weighed against the crown of England? Historians, novelists, and scholars have wrestled with these questions for centuries, each theory a thread in the intricate tapestry of England's past. The princes in the Tower remain emblematic of the innocents trampled in the ruthless pursuit of power, their voices silent echoes in the halls of history. Their fate, a poignant reminder of the fragility of life and the enduring mystery of their disappearance, continues to captivate the imagination and haunt the collective memory of a nation. Seeking answers in the dim light of history, we are reminded of the complexities of the human soul and the inscrutable paths of destiny. The story of the princes in the Tower intertwined with the enigmatic figure of Richard, invites us to ponder the depths of ambition, loyalty, and the indelible mark of choices made in the crucible of power. In the end, the mystery of what became of Edward V and Richard of Shrewsbury remains just that, a mystery, a tale of whispers in the dark, of the chill of uncertainty, and the haunting question of what lies buried beneath the stones of the tower and the annals of history. In the shadow of the tower's dark legacy and the haunting mystery of the princes, Richard's reign unfolds, revealing a monarch whose governance and reforms paint a complex portrait far removed from the vilified caricature history often presents. Amidst the tumult of his ascent and the turmoil that marked his time on the throne, Richard's legislative efforts and administrative actions offer a glimpse into the mind of a ruler grappling with the challenges of kingship in a fractured realm. His reign, though brief, was marked by initiatives that hinted a vision for England that was progressive, aiming to address long-standing grievances and improve the welfare of his subjects. Richard III ascended to the throne in a kingdom weary from decades of civil strife, a realm yearning for stability and justice. From the outset, his rule was characterized by an eagerness to implement legal and social reforms. One of his most significant contributions was the establishment of the Court of Requests, a body that heard the pleas of the poor who could not afford legal representation. This institution reflected Richard's concern for the less fortunate, an attempt to make justice accessible to all, irrespective of social standing. It was a move that, for many, highlighted a monarch attuned to the needs of his people, a ruler who sought to bridge the chasm between the highborn and the lowly. Moreover, Richard's legal reforms, extended to the enhancement of the bail system, aimed at protecting suspects from unjust imprisonment, a remarkable attempt to balance the scales of justice, ensuring that the law served as a shield for the innocent until proven guilty. Such measures underscored a commitment to fairness and due process, principles that resonate with modern notions of justice, but were revolutionary in the context of the 15th century. In addition to his legal reforms, Richard demonstrated a keen interest in the welfare of the realm's economy and trade. He took steps to protect English merchants from piracy and encourage the export of English products, recognizing the importance of commerce in the prosperity of the nation. His efforts to stabilize the currency and combat the debasement of coinage were initiatives aimed at bolstering economic confidence and integrity, reflecting a monarch mindful of the broader implications of economic stability on social welfare. Richard's governance also touched the realm of education and intellectual life. His patronage of the University of Cambridge and his plans for the establishment of a college in York were indicative of a monarch who valued learning and saw in it the future of his kingdom. These endeavors to promote education and scholarship were emblematic of a Renaissance ruler, one whose vision extended beyond the immediate exigencies of power to the cultivation of intellect and culture. Yet the progressive nature of Richard's policies and the breadth of his vision were often overshadowed by the political machinations and the relentless struggle for survival in a realm fraught with betrayal and intrigue. His reforms, though forward-looking, were implemented in a landscape where loyalty was fluid and power was a precarious mantle. The nobility, a class whose support was vital for the stability of his reign, was a double-edged sword, their allegiance as changeable as the wind, their ambitions a constant threat to the crown. The tenure of Richard, therefore, emerges as a period of paradoxes, where the intent and actions of the monarch paint a picture of a ruler far more nuanced than the tyrant of popular imagination. His efforts to legislate fairness, protect the vulnerable, and promote economic and intellectual advancement offer a counterpoint to the narrative of a usurper king, revealing a monarch who, in the face of overwhelming challenges, sought to leave a mark of benevolence and progress on the tapestry of English history. In the end, the governance and reforms of Richard III stand as testament to a reign that, though marred by controversy and tragedy, was also marked by a genuine attempt to navigate the complexities of medieval kingship, with a vision for a just and prosperous realm. It is a narrative that invites us to ponder the multifaceted nature of power, the legacy of leadership, and the enduring quest for justice that defines the human condition. As we peel back the layers of Richard's story, moving beyond the shadow of the tower and the spectre of the princes, we uncover a monarch whose life and reign challenge us to look beyond the myths and legends to the heart of a king who sought, in his own way, to shepherd his kingdom through challenging times. As the dawn light crept over the horizon on August 22, 1485, it illuminated not just the fields of Leicestershire, but the precipice of a moment that would forever alter the course of English history. The Battle of Bosworth Field, a confrontation steeped in ambition, betrayal, and the quest for power, was not merely a clash of armies, but the culmination of decades of civil strife, the final act in the saga of the Wars of the Roses. At the heart of this maelstrom stood Richard, a monarch whose reign had been besieged by controversy, now poised on the brink of destiny, facing an adversary in Henry Tudor, who embodied the hopes of a faction determined to wrest the crown from the Plantagenet lineage. The air on that fateful morning was thick with tension, the anticipation palpable as two forces gathered on the field, each under the banner of a claimant to the throne. Richard, in full armour, his banner unfurling in the wind, stood as the embodiment of the Yorkist cause, his right to rule sanctioned by coronation and lineage. Opposite him, Henry Tudor, a figure who had spent years in exile, bore the standard of the Lancastrian claim, his lineage tenuous but his ambition unquenchable. The battle was more than a contest for the crown. It was a confrontation between two visions of kingship, two futures for England. The strategic positioning of the forces on that day spoke to the tactical acumen of both leaders. Richard, experienced in the art of war, commanded a formidable force, bolstered by the loyalty of key nobles and the prowess of seasoned soldiers. Henry, though less experienced, was not without his own advantages, including the support of the Stanley brothers, whose allegiance hung in the balance, a factor that would prove decisive as the battle unfolded. As the clash commenced, the field of Bosworth became a maelstrom of steel and valour, the air filled with the clash of arms and the cries of those engaged in combat. Richard, ever the warrior king, fought with a ferocity that bespoke his determination to retain the crown, his charges into the fray, the stuff of legend. Yet, as the battle raged, the tide turned with the betrayal of Sir William Stanley, whose forces, previously poised in ambiguity, descended upon the field in support of Henry Tudor, tipping the balance irrevocably in his favour. In the midst of this chaos, a moment of singular determination marked Richard's final stand. Spying Henry Tudor within reach, Richard led a desperate charge, cutting a swath through the enemy in an audacious attempt to end the conflict with the death of his rival. It was a move of breathtaking boldness, a king risking all on the turn of fate, the crown itself the prize. Yet fate, ever fickle, would not smile upon Richard. Overwhelmed by numbers and beset by betrayal, he fell. His last cry, treason, echoing across the field, a poignant epitaph for a reign consumed by the machinations of power. The death of Richard on Bosworth Field marked the end of the Plantagenet dynasty and heralded the dawn of the Tudor era. Henry Tudor, ascending the throne as Henry VII, would forge a new lineage, uniting the houses of York and Lancaster through marriage and diplomacy, crafting a legacy that sought to heal the divisions that had torn the realm asunder. Yet the shadow of Bosworth Field would linger, a haunting reminder of the cost of ambition and the fragility of power. The battle, with its dramatic ebb and flow, its tales of valour, betrayal, and the tragic fall of a king, resonates through the annals of history, a testament to the tumultuous era that was the Wars of the Roses. Richard III, in his final charge, emerged not merely as a figure of controversy, but as a symbol of the indomitable will to fight for one's destiny, a king who, in the face of overwhelming odds, chose to meet his fate on his feet, sword in hand. In the retelling of the Battle of Bosworth Field, we find not just the story of a battle, but the saga of a nation in transition, a pivotal moment that shaped the trajectory of English history. It is a narrative imbued with the grandeur and tragedy of Shakespearean drama, a chapter in the storied tapestry of England's past that invites reflection on the nature of power, the spectre of ambition, and the eternal quest for legitimacy and rule. In the aftermath of the Battle of Bosworth Field, as the dust settled over the English landscape, the dawn of the Tudor era heralded not just a new dynasty, but the inception of a narrative that would shape the legacy of Richard III for centuries to come. The victor's history, penned with the ink of Tudor propagandists, would cast Richard in the role of the villain, a malevolent usurper whose reign was marked by treachery and malefaction. This narrative, meticulously crafted and disseminated, was not merely an account of events, but a weapon wielded to legitimize the new regime and diminish the claim of the vanquished. The architects of this narrative were not mere chroniclers of history, but master storytellers, among whom Thomas More and William Shakespeare were the most influential. Their works, steeped in the Tudor perspective, would become the lens through which generations viewed Richard, shaping perceptions and cementing his villainous image in the annals of history and the public imagination. Thomas More's The History of King Richard III was a seminal piece in the construction of Richard's legacy. Written during the reign of Henry VIII, More's account depicted Richard as a cunning, deformed tyrant whose path to the throne was paved with deceit and murder. This portrayal, while compelling in its narrative, was grounded in the political necessities of the Tudor regime, serving to justify Henry's seizure of the throne and the subsequent establishment of Tudor rule. More's Richard III was not a character born solely of historical fact, but a figure moulded by the requirements of Tudor legitimacy, his villainy a necessary contrast to the righteousness of the Tudor claim. William Shakespeare, the bard whose pen has shaped the contours of English literature, further immortalized Richard III as the quintessential villain in his eponymous play. Shakespeare's Richard is a character of unparalleled malevolence, a schemer who manipulates, betrays, and murders his way to the crown. Through soliloquies and asides, Shakespeare invites the audience into the mind of his protagonist, presenting a man who is at once captivating and repulsive, his ambitions unfettered by moral constraint. Yet it is crucial to recognize that Shakespeare's work, while a masterpiece of drama, is a product of its time, written in the service of the Tudor dynasty. The play, performed for an Elizabethan audience, reinforced the Tudor narrative, entrenching Richard's villainous image in the cultural consciousness of England. The legacy of Tudor propaganda, thus, is a testament to the power of narrative in shaping history. The portrayal of Richard as a villain served not just to denigrate a defeated rival, but to cement the legitimacy of the Tudor succession, portraying their ascent to the throne as the triumph of virtue over vice, order over chaos. This narrative, propagated through literature and education, became a foundational element of the Tudor legacy, a story told and retold, each iteration further distancing the historical figure of Richard from the character enshrined in public consciousness. Yet, the Tudor narrative is not without its challenges. Historians and scholars, armed with the tools of modern research and a critical eye, have begun to question the veracity of the Tudor account, peeling back the layers of propaganda to reveal a more nuanced portrait of Richard. Efforts to reassess his reign and policies have illuminated a monarch whose governance was marked by progressive reforms and a concern for justice, a far cry from the tyrant of Tudor law. The discovery of Richard's remains in a Leicester parking lot in 2012 further fueled the re-evaluation of his legacy, offering new insights into the man and the monarch, challenging the caricature that has persisted for centuries. The legacy of Tudor propaganda, therefore, is not merely a historical curiosity, but a reminder of the enduring impact of narrative on our understanding of the past. The story of Richard III, shaped by the needs of his successors and the talents of literary giants, invites us to ponder the intersection of history and myth, the complexities of truth, and the shaping of collective memory. It is a legacy that challenges us to question, to explore, and to look beyond the shadows cast by the victors' tales in search of the multifaceted reality that defines our shared history. In this quest for understanding, the story of Richard III transcends the boundaries of time and narrative, inviting us to engage with the past not as a distant tableau of heroes and villains, but as a mirror reflecting the complexities of human ambition, power, and the eternal quest for legitimacy. In the annals of archaeological discovery, few moments capture the imagination as vividly as the unearthing of Richard, a king lost to history and legend, buried beneath the modern landscape of Leicester. This extraordinary revelation, a confluence of science, history, and sheer serendipity, not only challenged centuries of myth and speculation, but also brought to light the tangible remains of a monarch enshrouded in mystery. The discovery of Richard in a car park in 2012 is a tale that bridges the past and present, a narrative imbued with the allure of medieval intrigue and the rigor of contemporary archaeology. The quest to find Richard began not as a certainty, but as a hypothesis, a thread of historical evidence suggesting that the remains of the Plantagenet king lay somewhere beneath the Greyfriars Friary, a religious institution long since banished under the urban sprawl of Leicester. The driving force behind this endeavor was the Richard III Society, a group dedicated to the re-evaluation of the king's maligned reputation. Their collaboration with the University of Leicester set the stage for one of the most remarkable archaeological undertakings of the 21st century, a search not just for a king, but for the truth obscured by time and tale. The excavation, initiated in August 2012, quickly yielded results that seemed to defy the odds. Beneath the grey expanse of the car park, the team uncovered the foundations of the Greyfriars Church, and within it, a grave that bore the hallmarks of a hastily arranged burial. The skeleton found therein was notable for its curvature of the spine, a detail that resonated with historical accounts of Richard's physical appearance, suggesting that the remains could indeed be those of the last Plantagenet king. The identification of the skeleton as Richard was a process that married the ancient with the cutting edge. Forensic analysis of the bones revealed injuries consistent with accounts of Richard's death at the Battle of Bosworth Field, including a fatal blow to the skull. Radiocarbon dating placed the remains within the right historical period, but it was DNA analysis that provided the conclusive link. Genetic material extracted from the skeleton was compared with that of living descendants of Richard's family, confirming beyond reasonable doubt that the remains were indeed those of Richard III. The revelation of Richard's final resting place was more than a mere historical footnote. It is a moment that transcended academic circles, captivating the public imagination and reigniting interest in a period of English history marked by turbulence and transformation. The discovery also prompted a re-evaluation of Richard's physical condition, challenging the caricature of the hunchback tyrant propagated by Tudor propagandists and Shakespearean drama. The skeletal evidence of scoliosis suggested a condition far removed from the grotesque deformity of legend, offering a more nuanced understanding of the king's appearance and physical capabilities. The reburial of Richard in Leicester Cathedral in March 2015 was an event of historical significance, a ceremony that conferred dignity and respect upon a monarch who had lain in an unmarked grave for over five centuries. It was an occasion marked by solemnity and reflection, attended by thousands who came to witness the final chapter in the saga of a king whose life and legacy had been the subject of debate and fascination. The discovery of Richard and the subsequent reburial process raised profound questions about history, memory, and identity. It challenged narratives long accepted as fact, providing a tangible connection to a past that is often perceived through the distorting lens of time and interpretation. The archaeological endeavour in unearthing the remains of Richard bridged the divide between the medieval and the modern, reminding us that history is not merely a collection of events, but a tapestry woven from the lives of those who shaped the course of human destiny. In the search for and discovery of Richard III, we find a narrative that is at once compelling and reflective, a story that speaks of the enduring quest for knowledge and the power of history to inspire, challenge, and enlighten. It is a tale that transcends the boundaries of time, connecting us with a past that, through the miracles of modern science and the persistence of scholarly inquiry, can still reveal its secrets, inviting us to reconsider what we thought we knew about one of England's most enigmatic monarchs. As the echoes of Richard's life fade into the annals of history, the enigma of his legacy lingers, a haunting question that has vexed historians, scholars, and enthusiasts for centuries. Was Richard the malevolent usurper, the cold-hearted villain of Tudor fabrication and Shakespearean drama, or was he a victim of his time, a monarch caught in the relentless tide of political machination and historical circumstance? This question, complex and layered, invites us to traverse the corridors of history, to peer beyond the veil of legend and propaganda, and to confront the multifaceted figure of Richard III in all his humanity. Richard's ascent to the throne, marked by controversy and bloodshed, encapsulates the brutal reality of 15th-century English politics, a realm where power was often seized by the sword and maintained through a precarious balance of loyalty and fear. The disappearance of the princes in the Tower, perhaps the darkest stain on Richard's reputation, remains a mystery that fuels the debate over his moral character and kingship. Yet, to view Richard solely through the prism of this event is to ignore the broader context of his reign and the challenges that beset a kingdom fractured by decades of civil war. Richard's governance, characterized by progressive reforms and efforts to administer justice, offers a counterpoint to the traditional narrative of his villainy. His establishment at the Court of Requests, his attention to the welfare of the common people, and his attempts to stabilize a kingdom torn asunder by conflict suggest a ruler of complexity and vision far removed from the caricature of the tyrant king. These actions, indicative of a desire to heal a divided nation, hint at a monarch who, in different circumstances, might have been remembered as a benevolent and reformist leader. The Battle of Bosworth Field, where Richard met his end, is not just the culmination of a reign, but a pivotal moment in English history, marking the transition from the Plantagenet to the Tudor era. Richard's death in battle, fighting valiantly to the last, embodies the tragic heroism of a king who, despite the forces arrayed against him, chose to face his fate head-on. It is a testament to a personal courage that stands in stark contrast to the image of the craven usurper, challenging us to reconsider the man behind the myth. The legacy of Tudor propaganda, with its deliberate vilification of Richard, serves as a reminder of the victor's privilege in writing history. The narratives constructed by Thomas More and William Shakespeare, while compelling in their literary and dramatic genius, are products of their time designed to legitimize the Tudor claim to the throne and demonize their Plantagenet predecessor. The enduring influence of these narratives on our perception of Richard underscores the power of story over fact, the ease with which fiction can become enshrined as truth in the collective consciousness. The discovery of Richard's remains in the 21st century, a moment of profound historical significance, offered a unique opportunity to reevaluate his legacy through the lens of modern science and scholarship. The examination of his skeleton, the injuries that marked his final moments, and the genetic confirmation of his identity all contribute to a more nuanced understanding of the king. In the final analysis, the question of Richard III as villain or victim is not one that yields easy answers. His life and reign, marked by ambition, conflict, and tragedy, reflect the complexities of medieval kingship and the human condition. Richard was a man of his time, shaped by the forces of history, politics, and personal ambition. To reduce his legacy to a simple dichotomy is to do a disservice to the richness of history and the depth of his character. As we reflect on the legacy of Richard, we are reminded of the enduring mystery of history, the shades of grey that colour the narratives of the past. He remains a figure of fascination, a king whose story invites us to explore the intricate tapestry of human ambition, power, and the quest for understanding across the ages. In the end, Richard's legacy is a mirror reflecting the complexities of historical interpretation, a reminder that the past is a mosaic of perspectives, each piece contributing to our understanding of the truth. The enigma of Richard III, villain or victim, challenges us to ponder the legacies we leave behind and the truths buried beneath the stones of history. Thank you for joining us on this enchanting journey through medieval history. While our weekly episodes will continue to captivate your imagination, there's an exclusive treasure trove for subscribers, a secret vault of bonus episodes filled with extra tales and deep dives into the subjects we cover. Your curiosity fuels our mission, and we're truly thankful for your support. Until we meet again among stone walls and towering turrets, keep that torch of curiosity burning bright. Thank you for listening.